All right, good evening, everybody. This is the CCNR meeting on Monday, February 7th, 2022.
Thank you, babe.
The time right now is 5:30 p.m. All right, and roll call. I guess I am missing Kelly Cantola, so I'll mark him absent. Forgot about Kelly. So Candace Hill Calvert.
Present.
Tim Israel.
Here.
Director Aston. Eric Aston.
I'm here. Sorry. Somehow I was muted again.
That's okay. Director Wooten.
Here.
And we also have Andre Pitchley.
Yes.
Present. And then myself, Jim Mogg, CCNR officer. Okay. So we do have a member in the audience. I'll read public testimony will be received on each agenda item as it is called. Principal party on each side of an issue is allocated 10 minutes to speak. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes, except with the consent of this committee. Individuals shall be allowed to speak on an item only once. Members of the audience are asked to volunteer their name before addressing the committee, and the committee reserves the right to waive said rules by a majority vote. So So when we get to open forum, that's when our public can speak. And then we'll also when we get to items on the agenda, public can speak about that too. Am I correct there, Andre?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving to approval of agenda. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
I will make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second that. This is Director Aston.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. Okay. Okay. Now we are moving to open forum. And I have to stop the screen here for just a minute so I can navigate that. And we do have, Kelly made it in. Let me switch him real quick. Okay. All right. And public, if you would like to make any comment during the open forum, please raise your hand. And then we will unmic you so you can speak. If not, we will move on. I'll give you a few moments. Okay, this is open forum. Members of the public may speak on an item not on the agenda that falls within the responsibilities of this committee. We have two attendees, and I do not see any hands raised at this point. Okay. Moving on to department matters. All right. We have item number one, designation of chair and vice chair for the CCNR committee. And Andre, you can take vote. I think we will have to have individual votes on this item. But members of the committee, this is your opportunity to throw your hat in for chair or vice chair.
Hey everyone, this is Kelly. I'd be happy to run chair on this one if that works. So nominate or need a nomination.
I'll nominate Kelly to be chair of the committee for this year.
Okay.
Are there any other nominations for chair?
Eric, comment. I want to make sure your mic is working.
My mic is working. I can hear. I have no comment here.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
We just need a second for the nomination. Oh, you got a second for the nomination or?
A second.
Okay. There we go.
Okay.
Okay. We also so this need would be a roll call. Get a roll call, please. Jim, you want to go ahead and do that?
Okay. Roll call vote. I'm just going to go along the screen here. Tim Israel.
Aye.
This is for Kelly Cantola as chair. So we have Tim Israel votes aye. Okay. Candace Hill Calvert?
Aye.
Okay. Aye. Kelly Wooten?
Aye.
Okay. Okay. And that would, and Eric Aston?
Aye.
Okay. And I don't think Andre and I get a vote. So that's four ayes.
You do not.
Making the chair Kelly Cantola. And welcome, Mr. Chairman Kelly Cantola.
Thank you very much.
And Kelly, would you like to work on nomination for the vice chair?
Yeah, we absolutely can do that. So what are you looking for me to do, Jim?
Does anybody have a nomination for vice chair?
There we go. I know, I think Ellie, what? You're sitting in that chair. You're in that spot at the moment. So the question would be is, do you want to continue or as a group, should we look for another candidate?
I don't think you need to look for another candidate, but it's certainly your call.
No, I think I would nominate Ellie to maintain the vice chair role if she's willing.
Ellie's willing.
Well, I would. I'd second that nomination.
Thank you, Tim.
Okay. So we will then take a vote for vice chair. Ellie Wooten. Roll call vote. Tim Israel.
Aye.
Okay. Candace Calvert Hill.
Aye.
Aye. And then we have Ellie, you don't get to vote. Kelly Cantola.
Aye.
And Eric Elston.
Aye. And actually, Ellie does get to vote.
She,
as a committee member, she has the right to vote. She can choose to abstain if she wants.
Okay.
But all committee members have the ability to vote.
That's why we have our past board president helping us out here. Ellie, would you like to make a vote?
I will vote. Am I voting for me? I guess I'm voting for me.
Okay. Ellie is an aye. And then Eric, did you cast your vote?
Yes, aye.
Okay. Okay, we have our chair and vice chair. So what that means, Kelly, is I'll be the driver on the screen and whatnot, but you now have the reins of driving as calling out this meeting.
Perfect. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, everyone. Okay, so let's move on and keep to the agenda. Jim, if you want to share that for everyone so you can pull it back up. Now that we've finished the chair and vice chair, we're going to move on to item two, which is going to be our work plan review for 2022. And that is going to be Andre and Jim presenting, I believe.
Yeah, and we did present this last week. Eric, you were the only person I think that did not have eyes on this, but I believe you did review it, correct?
Yes, I have reviewed it.
Okay. So there, in our last meeting, we didn't have any comment on it, but this is, I'll do just a real brief on this.
Thank you.
Each year we do a work plan for each department. And in this transmittal, I focused on the work plans for 2021 CC&R department work plan. As you can see, the three items are listed here. All of these items were completed. We updated the CC&R handbook. That was completed. We created guidelines and procedure for architectural review committee and a handbook for that. That
was Jim, I'm sorry. I don't think we see your screen. Just heads up.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I forgot to hit the share screen. All right.
Thank you.
So the handbook was completed. Guidelines for architectural review and handbook completed. And then we also, several months we worked on the questions of whether or not we can consolidate CC&Rs. And we presented a whiteboard project to the CC&R committee last year, explaining to them why it's an undertaking that this office is really not privy to doing. The CC&Rs are owned by each individual neighborhood. And for those CC&Rs to be consolidated, you would literally need a representative from all 80 plus CC&R neighborhoods to come together and write a whole new CC&R for Cameron Park. It's not saying that that can't be done, but with what this office has going on, that would be a very large undertaking and many years spent. And we determined that it would probably mean a whole nother set of staff people just to try and implement this. Mm-hmm. But the public themselves are welcome to amend their CC&Rs at any time. And we do have a guide to amend CC&Rs on our website. Currently, we do have one CC&R that is being worked on as an amendment right now. We don't know if that will be completed or not, because they record that themselves.
Is this the Chasen Drive?
No, this is, you may recall the lady that came in on Cambridge. She had chickens. The chickens had to be removed. And oh. She's working on an amendment to allow chickens.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Emma, do we provide developers any guidance as far as CC&Rs?
I'm sorry, could you ask that question again, please?
Well, do we provide any guidance to them? Do we have something that says, well, this is, you know, obviously we can't control exactly what they do, but do we give them here's a boilerplate?
When you sign your paperwork and title, you're given a copy of your CC&Rs.
No, I'm talking about new developments. Few that there are.
So we had a new development, Silver Springs, in which case they came to our office and we did help them put together those CC&Rs.
Uh-huh.
And we also give guidance when somebody wants to amend their CC&Rs, as well as if anybody wants to call in and kind of weave their ways through the gray matter and get to the black and white of the CC&Rs, we help people out with that as well.
So do we have what we would call model CC&R language that you could refer to? Not that it's any one, you know, location, but it would be, well, if we had to do it from scratch or if you had to redo it, this is what we recommend. Would there be value to that?
No, there's not really a template per se. And I will give you an example. Our earliest CC&R dates back to 1962. That CC&R document is only about 3 pages long. Our latest CC&R was done last year. And that's about a 52-page document.
Right.
So they vary, and I think a lot of it varies through time because of legalities and responsibilities. They just keep growing. And these CC&Rs, as we get further and further down the road, they really note more and more and more. But as far as a template, no, we do not have that. I've written a lot of codes for a lot of cities and counties in the past, and that's why I was able to help Silver Springs with it. But it's ultimately up to the developer at the time of the subdivision to put together those documents.
But we approve them, right?
We don't have to.
Don't we control what goes into the, we don't control that at all?
No.
And
the reason for that is because when a site's being developed, like for example, Silver Springs, Revere, that project is, the CC&Rs are managed by the declarant. And you'll see that in a lot of verbiage in CC&Rs.
Sure. Right.
The declarant is the developer.
Yeah.
The developer actually maintains those CCNRs until the last lot is sold. And then they go back to the recorder's office and they record with the county that they're turning those CCNRs over to the CSD.
So the county permitting and planning process has influence on what goes into those.
Absolutely correct.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, that is governed by the county. And one of the other reasons why is because it also, these CCNRs also delegate responsibilities. So in those CCNRs, it'll say water is the responsible of either the declarant CCNR or the homeowner. And they'll kind of point into which direction each one of these items or each item is responsible, who's responsible for each item. So I hope I was able to answer your question. CCNRs are tricky.
Yeah, well, obviously there's a lot of them here too.
So. Yes,
there's a lot, yeah.
And they're required in the state of California on everything. Every subdivision that's built for three houses or more have CCNRs. If it's not an HOA, it's a CCNR. And a lot of people don't realize that until they come to Cameron Park or El Dorado Hills and they find, uh-oh, somebody's actually enforcing these CCNRs. So they learn a lot when they come to our community.
No, Jim, just a point of clarification. So you're looking for us to basically approve this document as this is our work plan for 2022 that we're going to bring to the board of directors this month. Is that correct?
Yes. So okay. Andre will work with the other departments putting together a full work plan that goes along with our strategic plan.
Okay.
And once all the departments put that together, he will take that to board of directors.
He'll take it to the board of directors. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. And then so we have two items at the moment. Is there a third that we listed?
We actually have four.
Okay, got it.
We have develop uniform fence guidelines. Kelly, you really understand this one, that we need to put fence guidelines into our, not into our CCNRs, but I'm going to put it on the CCNR page. So when people do fencing, they at least have a how-to and what you can and cannot do.
Yep.
We also want to bring back the public workshop for residents to attend. We did this a couple years back, pre-COVID. We opened up our doors to have people come in, and we did a PowerPoint presentation along with just reviewing CCNRs and what they're here for and the intent of them. And we'd like to do that again this year. Help educate our new residents of the community.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah.
We also have research and develop a short video about common restrictions. And I worked on a project down in Tracy called Mountain House. Did a lot of the codes and stuff for that community. And they have since put together about a 3-minute video that talks about CCNRs and architectural review. And it's called Are You Good Neighbor? Feel free to look that up on YouTube, or even if you go to the Mountain House website, you'll find that there as well. And I have done enough research to find out who made that video. And that's one of the things I'd at least like to get moving. It might not happen this year because of budget purposes, but I at least want to find out what our budget would be to develop this video so that we may be able to implement it and get it up in 2023. If you ever have time to take a look at it, it's great. It's almost kind of cute and funny, but it gets the point across really well. And then the last item is collaborate with the apartment community management groups to improve curb appeal. And this is something Tim and I have already started on. For those of you that don't know, Tim Ryman is our new field inspector, and he's doing a great job. We have contacted Cambridge Gardens Apartments right here at Cambridge and Country Club. I spoke with the owner, Mr. Klein, this morning and talked to him about the help we need there. I've also talked with another one over here on Greenwood today. So we've got that one in motion. And then all of these items, I thank Andre for this because Andre had me put in the footnotes here, pointing out that each of these items do work with our strategic plan. So is there any questions on the overview of the 2022 work plan?
This is Director Aston. I have a couple questions. I really like the idea of the video and recognize some of that's going to be budgetary considerations.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that is continue to educate the community, the idea of doing the workshop as well. Can you, being new to the committee, can you explain to us right now what are the existing channels and kind of rhythms of communicating CCNRs to the community? If there's anything on a regular basis, or if there's seasons when things tend to happen more that you're trying to get the message out.
Okay. So as you know, we have all of our CCNRs on our website. And Eric is correct in stating that it's certain violations are seasonal. Like, for example, during the summer, I get a lot of boats and jet skis and stuff like that. There are a number of different ways that we try to reach out to our community and educate them about these things. We, for example, right now in Cameron Park number one, we are doing what we call a neighborhood campaign. So we are going around the neighborhoods of DeSabla, Toronto, and Los Santos. This is a neighborhood that has in that little pocket about 20 violations, 20 different residential violations. So what we're doing on these campaigns is, first, when we find a neighborhood that has a lot of these, we will send out basically a uniform letter. Everybody's going to get the same letter. All 20 houses that have a violation will get the same letter. And it says, you might have one of these things going on, and we are asking for your help to clean them up before we come through and actually issue violations. So we're finding, now that I have Tim on board, we did that with that neighborhood, and out of 15 that we hit on the first loop, 7 of them have already cleaned up.
Wow.
Yeah, it worked really well. And they all called in, or not all of them, but a majority of them called in and asked, what's this letter about? We explained it to them, and half of them have cleaned it up. What that's going to do is it's going to make our job a lot easier, where we're not going to give out 20 violation notices, but we're going to give out 8 or 9. And it also seems to make the communities feel a little bit more warm and fuzzy, because they now understand and feel that we're here to help them clean up their neighborhood, not just to stick them with a violation. Now, our next step, if we're in a neighborhood and there's just one or two here and there, sometimes we'll knock on the door and leave a door hang to get them to contact us. Or the ultimate is we send a courtesy notice. Those notices then step up from courtesy notice to initial violation to final violation to pre-legal notice. Naturally, we do not want our residents to have to get into legal matters. So we do our best to try to keep them and us out of court, because it's just not a pleasant thing for either party. So lots of different tools and lots of different ways that we reach out to our community and help educate. We also are working on a welcome wagon campaign. And lately we have handed out a lot of welcome wagon packages. We do this specifically on homes that have been turned over that had previous violations. If I can get a listing from real estate of all homes sold, we would then be much more proactive on that. Now, I do not know how to do that yet, how to get a listing of every home sold in our community. But I know there's a way to do it. I just haven't figured it out yet.
Maybe a Zillow data feed could get it to you.
Somebody's mentioned that before too, but you know, if you open up Village Life once a month, you'll see all the homes listed in El Dorado Hills that have sold recently, but you won't see that for Cameron Park. So it's available somehow.
So an interjection there, Jim, is there any system now where those welcome wagon pieces go to realtors in our area? I know there's a lot of them and they're spread out, so it's hard to get it to every one of them, but I don't know if we could target certain offices and kind of cut down some of the need to track that down.
I have gone into offices and like Lion Real Estate, for example. I did go into Lion Real Estate and I met with I did a presentation to all the realtors there. And they also had this in a Zoom link feed for their Placerville offices too. So I was able to reach out to a lot there. We also have the Real Estate Association does meet here, I think bi-weekly. And in the near future, we do want to get in front of them and re-educate them about, my biggest request is, please put a copy of the CC&Rs on the kitchen counter along with your termite inspections and stuff like that. And I've reached out to a lot of real estate agents to say, just let me know and I'll email it to you. I'll make sure you have that document.
Okay. So, and I apologize to the chair. I'm not trying to tangent on all this, but the base of my question is simply, I didn't know if there was anything else, and those who've been on the committee before would know better, if there's any other kind of education piece that we would want to add to this year. The video might not happen. The workshop is a good piece. Both of those are passive, meaning people have to come to that, as opposed to us going out to. I just didn't know if there was any kind of mailing or connection or education piece that can be more proactive. Not trying to add to the work, just wondering if there was anything else that might be considered this year.
There is a couple more items. We have our newsletter, and we also have our monthly, I forget what they're called, but we have two items that are sent out. One is done from on social media and whatnot from Parks and Rec, and they contact each of our departments, and each month I put in something there. Like, for example, when it comes up to boating season, I'll mention in there, please don't forget to put away your boats and jet skis. And then we also have every quarter, they put together a community document that we also do that as well. So I would say about a dozen times a year, we have something that goes out on social media as well as in mailers.
Okay, that answers my question, and I appreciate taking the time on that. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, Andre,
social media. The social media is Facebook, Instagram, and then we have staff that monitor Nextdoor. I'm not sure how much they push information out on Nextdoor. And then the quarterly newsletters and electronic version that goes out. We do print some. They are available, but primarily those go out electronically.
Okay. Thank you, Andre. Any more questions?
No, I think that's good. Thank you, Jim.
Okay, and I'm gonna just check the field here real quick. Sure. Okay, I just wanted to see if our attendees had any hands up, and I do not see them up, so I'll scroll back up.
Yeah, you'll want to officially open it for public comment at that point, I think.
Okay, so for the attendees, the public, that's we have two attendees in the public. If you would like to make comment at all, please raise your hand. Okay, and I'm not seeing any hands being raised, so I'm going to scroll back up to our items. Okay, and we have just completed item number 2. I'll hand that back over to you.
Perfect. And then, Jim, we need to approve that. Is that correct? Just make sure I understand what you're asking here. The work plan for 2022 to go to Andre, or would you need an actual motion on this?
I think it's just review and support.
Okay, perfect.
So it's I know there's a typo there. It says review and report. It's supposed to be review and support. Andre or Eric, do we need to take a vote or anything on this, or is it just support it?
I would appreciate it if the group would go ahead and vote to approve this.
Sure. Well, and I'm going to interject there. We can't do that. That is not agendized as part of this item. It would have to be in the actual agenda item itself to approve it forward.
He's right.
Wow. Yeah. So this, what I have here on the agenda item is discussing forward. Once we've closed public comment, it comes back to the committee to have any further discussion. And at that point, if discussion is closed, then it's simply forwarded. So for future, if it's something we want the committee to approve, we'll want to agendize that as an action item.
Thank you, Eric. Appreciate the clarity.
No, there. Not a problem. One thing I will interject, and this is just a comment. Forgive me, Jim's heard me do this before. General Manager, I just want a clarification. Some of the committee know this. The CCNR fee has not been changed since 1985. Is that correct, Jim?
We actually got them approved to increase last year. So they went into effect and they were increased February 1st.
The CCNR fees?
Or excuse me, ARC fees.
No, I'm talking about the actual CCNR assessment that goes out to the public tax roll.
Oh, yes. I'm very sorry I misunderstood that. That is correct.
That's okay.
We have the vote in 1985 for this office came with a $12 maximum fee per residence, and that had no escalator on it. So that you are correct. Fees have not been increased coming to this office since 1985.
And am I correct in that that cannot change through committee or board action? That has to come directly from the public. Is that right?
That is correct. And we can't even promote it. So it's required by a public group or a public person to basically promote that and get it on a ballot to increase.
Okay. I just like to bring that to our attention, making sure we're keeping that in front of us.
And I appreciate that because it is something that we would definitely like to change in the future. And I think the better work that we do here, the better chance we have on that.
I agree. Perfect. That was the only comment I wanted to make to finish that up. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, everyone. We can move on to item 3, review expired temporary variance for 3248. Jason and Jim, I believe you're back up.
Okay. I'm going to come down to the transmittal for that. So in 2019, the CCNR committee did put together a variance for hardship. Now, I spent a lot of time studying these variances for hardship, and it's the way I understand it, and I'll put it out here. Trying to find it. Okay. In February 2019, staff and the CCNR committee developed a temporary variance for hardship. The variance was granted to the owners of 3248 Chasen Drive for 3 work vehicles to be parked. Only one would be present at a time in the resident's driveway. A renewal of the variance was granted in 2020, and the variance for that has since expired. So staff is requesting the CCNR committee to review the variance that was adopted and discuss the staff's direction to proceed with the property owner. Currently, and I want to reiterate this, the variance has expired, and it should be the responsibility of the property owner to keep on top of that on whether or not they would like to renew it. I did notice in 2020, my predecessor did email the resident and asked them to come in and renew. However, and I'll read through these. Eastwood Park number 5, CCNR parking vehicle. It does read in that CCNR that each owner shall be entitled the exclusive use of the garage located upon his lot, subject to the provision regarding recreational vehicles in 3.04B. Each owner or resident within the property may leave one and only one vehicle parked in the driveway outside the garage located upon owner's lot. 304A states that all garages are to stay clear for vehicle parking with no conversions. 304B restricts non-op vehicles and recreational vehicles from being parked on any street or driveway, and they must be stored and screened behind their fence line or off the property. 304C requires all driveways to be maintained clean and clear for vehicle parking. The CCNRs restrict the property owner to one vehicle parked outside the residence at any given time. Since this expiration, we have been going by this property and checking for violations. We don't find violations. Originally, this was put together because people were calling his vehicles commercial vehicles. And his vehicles are not commercial vehicles. They don't have any labeling. They are not oversized commercial vehicles, and he is only parking one vehicle in the driveway at any given time. So he's not been in violation. And then down here, a temporary variance for hardship was intended for temporary use. Now, Ellie Wooten was on this committee when this variance was put together. The variance originally starts for a 90-day probation period. If there's no complaints, it can be extended for up to 12 months. And the vehicles listed in the variance are not vehicles that are restricted from being parking in the driveway. They are not classified as the commercial vehicles like I spoke of. So
Jim, does this naturally just age out? Is that kind of where you're leading us here, or have they applied for another variance at this point in time?
They have not applied for an extension of this variance. And I did sit down with Ellie and discuss this with her because she was on this committee when this was all put together. And the way I read this variance for hardship, it is a way to extend the use of the property beyond the CC&Rs, in my opinion, because it says temporary variance due to hardship. It doesn't say permanent. So it's my opinion that if this were to be granted to somebody for 90 days and then the 12 months, that to me is more of, okay, we're giving you a year to figure something else out and be in conformity with your CC&Rs. This gentleman, although he has come in and renewed once before, did think that this is a permanent thing, which I find surprising considering he signed a document that says he understands that it's temporary. So this was his application.
Yeah, and it says, I could see where it could be confusing, but I mean, literally, if you read past the confusing part, it says 12 months, which is specifically, it goes from a temporary to a full-time, and then not to exceed 12 months. So to me, it stops at 12 months is my take on this.
Well, doesn't the CC&R handbook allow for renewal of these variances, though? So it's not very temporary if you allow it to renew for another 12 months.
Well, our CC&Rs, most of them do not allow a variance at all. Almost all of them. This CC&R, Eastwood Park, does allow a variance at the discretion of the CC&R committee by the CSD. That CC&R is written in a way where it can give extending powers to this committee. However, the more we get involved with that, the more there's a little bit of manipulation of the CC&Rs. So I'm always very cautious on items like this.
Yeah, well, I would tend to agree with you, Jim, that it's supposed to be a temporary variance. Doesn't sound like there's any need for a variance at this point. He has not applied for one, and you have not observed any commercial vehicles outside of his driveway. So let's save ourselves some time and put this thing to rest.
Yeah. And I will, and if I may, I will let you all know that because this happened so long ago and because it happened while I wasn't here, I wanted to review this variance. We have not reached out to the property owner. I wanted to basically educate this new committee on this variance item before we did extend our hand and out to the property owner. He and you as the committee do have that option to say, okay, we've reviewed what's going on. Now, Jim, either you're going to close this item or we're going to take it next month and notify the property owner so he can comment. That's entirely up to you.
Yeah. How many of these type of variances do we have?
This is the only one.
Well, then that makes it really easy.
Yeah.
There's and I will admit when I went through all these notes and everything, I did see our legal counsel telling us, be cautious about doing this kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Because it does.
I guess I guess my suggestion would be, since there are so few of these within the district, that we mark our calendars and remind the applicant, the property owner, that their variance has expired after 12 months.
Well, didn't it expire last year, Jim?
Well, in this case, this one was a year, 2 years ago or whatever it is. But any future ones, we should just make sure we notify them when it expires.
Well, there's quite a, excuse me, I don't mean to be rude.
No, go ahead, Ellie.
But there is quite a bit said about this at this time, such as a vehicle will be parked for no more than 4 days in any 7-day period. Right there says a little bit about the terms. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but that's part of what I'm taking.
Jim, just a question I could have for clarification. Is there anything in the CC&R language that puts limits on how many times a variance can be applied for or extended?
In this CC&R, it does not. It just gives the power to the committee to implement a variance if needed.
Because the other piece I read in there is that if this property is sold, the variance ends with the sale of that property. Correct. So in that sense, this temporary is a relative term. If somebody has to renew it each year, that makes it temporary. Even if they do it 5 or 6 or 7 times, it is not permanent.
Okay.
And at least in my interpretation of all that. And if there isn't any language that limits the number of times they can do that, I guess I'm only saying that for our discussion, if it comes back. But I agree that it sounds like this just will require a notification to the property owner that your variance has expired.
Okay. I did send the property owner back in September. I sent him a letter that said that his variances had expired. He did come into the office and he tried to tell us that this was permanent. Joe was with me and she said, no, it's not permanent. And she said, because of the nature of this case, she said, sir, I'll tell you what, we'll bring this back after the first of the year. His variance runs from February to February in the past. So that's just, I have sent out a notice, but if that's the case, that this committee would like me to notify him again and give him the opportunity to come in next month, I will do that.
Jim, was the original variance created due to, I know it's noticed, or was the original source of the variance a complaint from his neighbors that he was parking a vehicle there?
It was. And we actually have all of the supporting documents from each of the neighbors that he had to contact, because that was part of the chore on this, is to contact all of his neighbors in that CC&R and basically give a vote on whether or not that they would approve this variance. A lot of them came back and said, we're okay with it, but we just don't want it to become permanent. So, and I've got those as supporting documents if we do need them. And I'd be happy to share them with any of the committee that might want to look at those. I don't think we have the time at this point, but we did get individual letters from each of those residents.
Well, you have to do that again with the new variance, if we were to, of course.
No, the renewal does not require, although, you know, we are 3 years down the road, so some of these homes may have changed hands, and we don't really have any way of telling if they've changed hands since the initial variance.
And did the owner pay the $50 fee again for this last year?
Yes, he did.
So,
when does it expire?
It is expired now. When he renewed in 2020, he did pay the $50 fee again.
Through 21, but he hasn't paid 21 to 22. Is that correct?
Correct.
So tell me if I'm wrong. I'm interpreting at this point, this is not no longer a renewal. He's going to have to apply all over again because it's expired.
That I don't really know. To do that. That's a good question.
Because a renewal is he had one last year, he applies to renewal and extend the existing one.
You broke up.
And if that's the case, maybe you can look into it. I'm sorry. There is no existing variance at this point. It's expired.
Currently is.
So that sounds to me like you would have to. So it sounds to me like he'd have to apply all over again and go through the same initial process that he did back at the beginning.
Doesn't there need to be a violation first?
That's a good point, Tim.
I mean, there's no violation.
I like that.
Until you catch him parking his commercial vehicles there overnight or whatever, or somebody complains, then you'll have to come and get a new variance.
Well, I guess my only question that is if he... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, or we'll tell him no. What's your hardship? I mean, just because you're asked for it isn't a hardship. So I don't think we need to go there. I mean, there's no violation.
Yeah.
Currently, there's no violation on the property, and we've inspected it a good 3 to 5 times in the last 6 months.
I guess my only question would be is if in the meeting with you and the former general manager, it was indicated that we would revisit this at the beginning of the year, that would indicate to me that there does need to be a final follow-up to him from the committee and from you.
Okay.
If it sounds like it was left unresolved with him.
Correct.
So there would still need to be some kind of communication to him to say, here's where the committee stands. You have your variance has expired. Mm-hmm. If you want this again, you're going to have to reapply.
Okay. And then again, like I would reiterate to him also that we don't find any violation on his property. So I don't see that variance is needed.
I think that's right. Key.
I agree.
We might be able to close the book just that way by saying, congratulations, we no longer see any violations on your property. Your variance has expired since 2021, February. And as of now, we don't have any violations. So you don't really need this, but you're welcome to come back to the committee and discuss it with them next month. What do you think about that?
Is there anything wrong with that? I mean, I think that makes
sense. I think that's the right. Yeah, that's the right way to go.
I would agree. I would concur.
Yeah. I like that.
So let's do that, Jim. Thank you. And I know we have about 12 minutes left before we wrap at 6:30 here. So are we good to move on, Jim?
That's up to you guys. Any more questions?
No. Not for me.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Then that moves us on to staff report.
Okay.
Item 4. Go ahead, Jim.
And in our staff report. So we currently have 50 cases open. And actually what I'm going to do is do this a little bit different. Okay. I've got this and I'll scroll down to the case report. Okay. So here we have our case report that I send out to you all. And just to reiterate, these case reports, I bring this Excel spreadsheet to you for all the violations that are escalating, where they've been contacted once or twice. We don't put on this spreadsheet verbal warnings, door hangs, or courtesy notices. Once they step up into initial notice, we then provide you with that. So,
hey, Jim.
Yes.
I had a question about this.
Yeah.
Could you put a date on these? Refer to maybe the date that it's referred to legal, for example.
So,
Does that give me the date there somehow? Is that a
code? I didn't understand what Tim was just saying. Would you repeat that, sir?
So I was just asking for a date on these individual cases. So there's some time frame to refer to, basically.
Okay.
So these numbers right here, CCR 20,
uh-huh.
That's 2020. This is 2019. This is 2021. Actual dates, yes, I can put them in there. I would have to manually enter them onto each one of these when I build the spreadsheet. This is a case detailed report that our program spits out for us. But I'm happy to look up dates anytime. I can tell you right now, this one, 3808 Archwood, for example, we finished off pre-legal with them last November. And they finally came through ARC to take care of their architectural review obligations to complete a project that would clean up that place.
Okay, well, I don't want to create work for you.
No, it's not.
At least this gives me the year. So
it gives you the year, and I'll be honest, Tim, this has been a question before. And I'll look into that for you to see if there's a way I can put like start date and or last updated date, because we're in and out of these case files quite frequently. So,
okay. Thank you.
So as some of you may know, Ellie, you're one of them. When I came in here, we had close to 83 or 84 violations in our case file. Total cases were 83 plus. We've since worked really hard to go back through these older cases and clean up what was left behind. So we've gotten it down now to 50 cases when this report was put together.
Oh, that's great.
I did have three more cases came up today. We have three initial notices out. This month we put out three new initial notices. We have two refer to legal that we're currently working that you see right here. We have no pre-legal notices out this month. And final notices, we had seven upgrade to final notices. Those we're working on. Courtesy notices, there was 18 sent out. We have the one expired variance that we just discussed. Prior months cleared cases. Last month, we cleared 8 cases that came into compliance. And new cases, we had 5 new cases that were reported.
Very good.
Any questions on the case report?
Oh, you guys have been busy.
We are staying very busy. And I got to admit, having Tim helping us out in the field has made a big impact. It's also reduced our complaints because they're seeing him out there. At least 3 days a week, they're seeing him running around. So that will conclude this report. And at any time, if you guys feel that you want to check in on one of these, feel free to call my office. You're also, as committee members, you're also able to file a complaint. I just ask that you do it through the website and submit it through the website itself, because it takes its path through to all of our desks. It doesn't just come to me. It'll come to Tim, the front desk, and me. And we have a system here so we don't overlap each other's work. So in your case, I won't name names, but the Hillsborough community, for example, is one of our next neighborhood campaigns to start up on. That's going to start this week or next week. There has been 3 cases out there that we've worked on, and we've cleared them up in the last couple of weeks. Hopefully they don't come back. The snowmobiles are gone and the motorhome is gone. So that's an improvement on
Yay.
That. You like that, Candace?
I do, actually.
Good. Hey, have you ever worked with El Dorado Disposal as far as coordinating your enforcement work with their neighborhood cleanup days?
No. I hate to throw Andre under the bus, but that's his department. he works with waste management. We do have a couple of people out there that have gone delinquent on their bills, so waste management still charges them, but they won't pick up their garbage because they're delinquent. And those are some of those properties that I do have trash buildups, and I have to contact them and say, get a dumpster, clean out your yard.
Sure. I'm thinking more in terms of, you know, you go through a certain neighborhoods or whatever near, you know, around Camarado when they run their big cleanup day, right? Well, if you cite the people with messes in their front yard and there's a flyer right next to it that says, and by the way, next weekend, yeah, you might get some people to actually do what you want them to do.
That's a good point.
Something to consider.
Sorry. That's a good point. And I'll also point something else out to you, Tim. We were supposed to have our new recycling facility put up last May. I just met with Environmental Health, the retired director over there. He's been making calls to the state trying to find out why our new recycle facility and our dump facility here in Cameron Park is not opened yet. It is being held up by the state. But over there off Robin Lane, we are going to have a new dump facility that includes yard waste and recyclable materials. And we're really eager to get that open because I think it's going to help clean up our properties a lot.
Oh, yes. Jim, do you have any idea about the timing on when we're going to have this come forth?
I wish I did, Ellie. It was supposed to be open last May.
Hey, Jim.
Oh, okay. Jim? Yes. I got it.
I can interject there because I've been talking with Jeff England a little bit up at
El
Dorado Disposal. Because, yeah, it had been going inside. Contacted Kevin Kiley's office to see what we need to do to push. The last note I got from Jeff was that they actually were able to get it in and the application was being looked at. And so it had actually gone farther than it had in over a year. I just got an email from him today saying that they're holding a ribbon cutting ceremony for the new MRF transfer building. Oh, no, sorry. That was something else. Never mind. I apologize. I read it. I misread it. All that to say is it is in process and it sounds like it's going to come to a conclusion here. I don't want to give a timeline, but maybe the next couple months.
That'll be great. All right, we got about 3 minutes before the top of the half hour here. Jim, are we good on staff report, team?
I'll just finish this up real quick. We had in an architectural review, we reviewed 28 cases. 26 of those cases were approved. And two of them were coming back for more information. I think since I put together this report, those last two that needed to be additionally reviewed have been completed, and we now have 28 cases that went through ARC and approved last month.
Wow.
So that now takes us to
staff updates, item 5.
Okay. There you go. And Andre, do you have any updates?
I have nothing to report.
No, and I think I've given you enough updates on the variance in our work plan, as well as the CCNR report. So I'm good there.
Perfect. Thank you, staff. All right. That brings us to item 6, items for future CCNR committee agendas. Anything we want to put on next month's agenda?
I will be contacting the gentleman on Chasen Drive regarding his expired variance. I will just make a mental note for you all that he may come and visit us and discuss this next month.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah, Jim, I'm willing to chat with him too if we need to, you know, head over there or something like that, you know, to kind of help ease that as well, especially if you think he's going to come back, you know, and maybe there's not a need for him to come back.
He should be able to contact us and I can discuss it with him, and I will always give him that opportunity to discuss it with the committee too.
Yep.
Perfect. Since this was put together by the committee, if he wants to take that opportunity, I think we should grant it to him.
Agree.
Okay.
Okay. So well, mental note there, but nothing official.
Right.
Anything else, board? Think so. And so that brings us to item 7, items to take to the board of directors, which is our work plan for 2022, which I think that's going to Andre first. Is that correct?
I think so.
I think
Our work plan will go to Andre and he'll take it from here.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. So nothing for us to do there. All right. matters to and from committee members. So this is open forum for the committee members. Anything that we need to address this month? All right, I will take silence. So that brings us to adjournment for the February 2022 meeting at 6:30 on the dot. Thank you everyone for getting us there on time.
Thanks for leading us there, Chair.
Thank you, and thank you to the attendees that came and visited us at this meeting. We welcome you all here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi, Eric. Whoa. Hello, everybody.